Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Wednesday, August 7th, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-259-23 and E-260-23 and E-261-23. The appellant is Regency Park ICG LLC and Badger Mountain ICG LLC for parcel numbers 1-1698-401-3318-001, 1-1698-401-3318-002, and 1-2798-400-0001-031. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I so affirm.
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a commercial hearing. We usually allow an hour for these things. For the first 20 minutes, we'd like to hear from you, Ms. Flannery. Then we'll allow some time for the assessor to present. We'll have some questions back and forth and along the way, and then we will adjourn and deliberate. So with that, you may proceed.
Thank you. And to confirm, we're starting with Badger Mountain. Is what I have on my schedule. I just want to make sure we're...
Oh no, I have Regency Park, but if you want, we could switch to the other one. But
it's okay. We can start with Regency Park. That's not a problem. So hopefully everybody has the evidence that Hennings provided on May 22nd, 2024 for Regency Park.
Yes.
Now, this is a Class A garden style multi-family apartment complex. It's situated in the North and River submarket of Benton County. It consists of 228 units. It was originally constructed in 2013, and as of the date of value, it was 91% occupied. And essentially, our case rests on the increase in interest rates and therefore cap rates that have taken place from when this property was purchased until January 1st, 2023. And this particular property, it was purchased in August of 2021. It was $44,329,000, approximately $194,000 per unit. And and since then, the county has increased the value to $55,832,000, and we're contending that the value should be reduced to $49,440,000 and change. And essentially it comes because of the turbulence and uncertainty that has happened in the capital markets since the start of interest rates increasing in March of 2022. And with that, concurrently, the significant decrease in transaction volume, and therefore, two things, very limited recent cap rate data that can be used in the valuation. And then, if we, since this property did sell in the last 3 years from the date of value, looking at that and what a buyer would be willing to purchase it for as of January 1st, 2023, because of the upward trajectory of cap rates in between those two time periods. And so essentially, the Federal Reserve's, because of the tightening, it has increased the cost of lending substantially, and the impact of capital structure that's resulted in the expansion and increase of capitalization rates. Shorter term rates are 300 to 400 basis points, or 3 to 4% higher than they were a year ago. And essentially, the only way for these buyers to realize the internal rate of return that they're expecting, they aren't willing to pay as high a price as they were back in 2021. And so, as mentioned, transaction volumes have greatly reduced. The things that have transacted are being underwritten at higher cap rates. Versus the 8 years previous to March of 2022, when essentially interest rates were near zero for the last 8 years. So Fannie Mae rates in January of 2023 were 6.375%, 325 basis points higher than January of 2022. And we feel that these are the best available rates since Fannie Mae has the largest volume of multifamily lending, and that they lend only for qualified buyers that have a proven track record of stabilized properties. And then the other piece of it is transaction volume has decreased substantially. And trying to utilize cap rates that closed before the interest rates doesn't necessarily make sense. One option, one of the things that we've been looking at is the band of investment technique, because since there is a lack of transactions happening, this is really one of the best ways that we can measure what's happening. With mortgage equity and the impact of interest rates to capitalization rates. And essentially, all this means is that using the rents that were in place and loading the cap rate with a 0.98% tax rate, we utilized a cap rate of 5.25%. Which is supported by CBRE's multi-perspective view of cap rates. And that resulted in our opinion a value of $49,440,000.
Okay.
And the next pages, I'm not going to read through all of
Yeah.
that data, but obviously you can see CBRE, I mean, as far as I know, we are the lead research institution for commercial real estate on what's happening with cap rates. And it's one of the reasons our national surveys are used by most of the counties that I've worked with, anyways, in Washington.
Okay, now you on I guess it doesn't have a page number, but you have an income calculation worksheet 2023. It's about halfway through your package. Now, can you describe for us how those numbers were arrived?
I will do my best as I'm presenting this information on behalf of my coworker. And he gave me a quick overview, but I'll do my best.
Okay.
But essentially, my understanding is he looked at the number of units, the total leased area, the actual vacancy of 91%, to determine the leased income revenue and the vacant income loss. And that resulted in the potential gross income of the 4.225 million. And then in addition to that, there is the secondary income for minor operating departments, and that resulted in the effective gross income of just over 4 million. You'll see there. And then the operating expenses at 17%. My understanding is that's based on market and the subject's historical performance. Management fee of 4% as well. Excuse me, reserve for replacement of just under 2%, for a total expense ratio of 22.95%, resulting in an NOI of 77% of the effective gross income, or $3.1 million. And then this is the cap rate that we have, the 6.28, which is that 5.25 loaded with the tax rate of 0.98.
Wait a minute. 5.25 plus 0.98 is not
Oh,
6.28.
yeah, you are correct. Apologies. Let me. What did he?
It would be 5.23. Or
Yes,
6.2. Excuse me,
yeah,
6.2.
apologies for that. I think he, looking over it, I think he rounded in his write-up of that. So that's my fault. I was reading off of his first page. But yes, you are correct. So, cap rate is based on the CBRE Economic Advisors cap rate estimate of 5.3% for the national multifamily market and loading it with the adjustment for taxes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it changed from 5.25 to 5.3 then. Okay. And I
Yeah.
saw that 5.3 earlier. Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you. Now, so again, I'm trying to get back to where the numbers come from. So obviously there's leased income, right? There's a 3.38449.70. Is that based on what year's rates? Is that a
2022, so looking backwards,
2022.
is my understanding.
So, in other words, if the units had been fully occupied at the then current rates, that's the revenue they would have realized. Is that correct?
Well, he so his the total leased income. Oh, I see what he, sorry, I'm trying to see what he did here. Yeah, so it looks like because the actual 2022 total rental income was 3.5 million. Yeah, so he was using, okay, sorry. So he was using less, he wasn't using the actual of 2022. It looks like he was using market information to determine that at a rate of 18.91 a square foot. I'm not honestly
Yeah,
sure.
that's problematic then, because if you're going to use an income approach, we absolutely believe you need to use the actual income for this unit. But then there's the whole issue of the income approach. In the state of Washington, the sales approach is preferred, the cost approach is second, and the income approach is third.
Yes.
So we need to understand the other approaches too, which I think the assessor has done in their package. So could we pause with you for a moment and hear from the assessor, then we'll circle back. So
Absolutely. And I actually realized I do not have a copy of the assessor's information for the Regency That my fault, Hennings. I thought he had sent it to me and he had not. Is it possible to share screen so that I can see
Yeah,
as well?
sure. Yeah, Mark, can you share your screen as you present?
Sure. Let me do that here. That's the back part. I'm gonna do the front part here. One second.
Okay, yeah. Doesn't look like we're getting the smoke today that they forecast. Maybe a little bit.
Okay, Regency Park Apartments, as Ms. Flannery discussed, is
No, yeah, okay.
Yeah, a pretty high-end apartment complex. It's right behind the Queensgate retail portion. The fact of contention is that we have it at the things in my way of reading. $244,666 a unit, or $246 a square foot. Their opinion of value is $191 a square foot, or $189,342 a square foot. We have, it's been their contention that the prices have sunk relatively quickly. We have double sales to indicate that. That is not what is happening nationally, but in this market it is not. We have not seen any we've seen a decrease in the rate of increase, but not a decrease in overall value. This does continue into the 2024 sales. Things continue to sell much higher here, and our rent growth for 2022 has been really high, but the rate of rent growth has decreased. Let me slide to that page so you can look at it. So here we have the market information, vacancy. You'll see that vacancy has been really low. The subject shows a vacancy of about 10%, and yet the vacancy for typical apartments in the Kennewick Richland area is significantly lower than that. Market rate by bedroom is indicated here. Asking rent per square foot, you'll see a dramatic increase from the time of sale to the assessment date. The market here is very strong. As it mentions in this resource that I got, it's a multifamily community saw a 12% increase in total gross rents in 2022 compared to 2021. The cap rates have been only slightly increasing. You'll notice here in this chart that for housing cap rates, which are these little houses, you'll not see dramatic increases. We also have seen that basically costs have been relatively flat. There has been some increase. Mostly the increases are in insurance. Wages jumped up a few years ago, but have held constant since then. One of my issues with the appellant's information that has been turned in is they're really you know, that the vacancy in this unit is much more than typical, and the cap rate that he uses, you know, band of investment typically has been in disfavor because of its non-predictive nature, non-predicted of market value. But when you have, as the Ms. Flannery discussed, that, you know, that an owner has an expectation that it's an easy way for them to project, do I buy this property or do I not buy this property based on my investment indication, which is not an indicator of market value. It's an indicator of, hey, you know, for me as an investor, does this work or does this not work? I think investors are seeing that enormous rent growth in a very tight market. We're also seeing unprecedented in the past 3 years building in multifamily. You all as residents here, I don't know if you pick up on these things, but we have 3 times the new construction starts that we've had in previous years in multifamily. And also the sales in 2024 are not indicative. And you know, not to mention that, you know, price per square foot and all that, because, you know, those are things that really, you know, not considered until next year or the year after that, what's happening in 2024. You know, we will do new values for 1/1/2024, and obviously I've, you know, done most of those studies now already, and not seeing a drastic decrease because of the rates. You will see you know, that the owner's representative has completely forgot some of the other factors, like this tremendous rent growth, the strength of the economy, and the local economic factors here. Tri-Cities is a very different marketplace. The rents here, and it's true, rents are not what they are on the west side, but rents are getting within 15% of what they are on the west side. I have had some business, investment type business on the west side here recently, and I've had to go and do some research over there. Rents in this marketplace are very strong and they're constant. Whereas on the west side, rents have this cyclical fluctuation. They have the tendency to overbuild there. And when they overbuild, then they will have these big crashes in rents. That in the long term, that risk is something that a lot of investors don't want to take on. But constant historical rent growth makes a very, very strong marketplace and a very strong demand that is not reflected at all in what the national market is doing. You know, I hate to say this microcosm is better or stronger. I mean, obviously the west side of the state does really, really well and the rents are really, really high, but the rents here have had a continual year by year rent growth. Vacancy has been historically low, and even within the state, it has been on the lower end of vacancy. And I don't think that's reflected at all in the cap rate that Ms. Flannery or Mr. Hennings is using.
What cap rate do you believe is appropriate?
I believe that I have on page R16. I have the cap rates that were derived from our best information. Some of that is directly from the owner. Some of that is from during appeals and such in the past. The cap rate, unloaded cap rates, you'll look and see on page R16 on very similar units is between 3.17 and 4.72. And then once you load it, we load it with a 1.1% tax rate, and it goes to 5.32%. This is very reflective. This produces values. This is very reflective of what's happening in the marketplace. And the problem with the cap rate that's being used by Mr. Hennings, or that was generated, you would never come up with the sale prices that are being generated today with cap rates that are that high. I mean, it's just not going to happen. That cap rate is just not predictive. Band of investment method, and there's an awful lot to it, and I certainly could get into it, but I've put some reference material at the end about band of investment. And obviously this is not the only person writing negative articles about the band of investment. But basically, this method should only be used when certain conditions are met. And I see no indication that those conditions have been met without going into really fine detail, which I'll be honest would take much longer than what we have for, but you all could certainly look at it. But the most important thing to consider is the cap rates that I have there on page R16 are derived directly from the local market, not from some generalities in the national market. This is a very different market. It's kind of a microcosm. We have developed a cost approach over the years, and we continue to, but the sales are probably the most important. By statute, the sales are to be the most important consideration. When you look at the double sales study, there is no indication at all that market values are going down. Irregardless of what the Federal Reserve is doing with the interest rates, obviously, another thing to be considered is that this property was bought in the year that it was bought. Excuse me here, sorry. In the year that it was bought, which was
July 2021.
It was purchased 7/29/2021 with 7/29/2021 dollars. With this assessed value, we're talking about 1/1/2023 dollars, not 7/29/21 dollars. We all know that inflation has caused a big spike, and that prices, that buy actual buying power, that the strength of the dollar has sunk because of the inflation, which is why the Fed is trying to increase those rates to try to stabilize that, because of our position in the global market and where we want to be. And obviously incomes are not increasing as fast as inflation rates, but that's a consideration that's been completely glossed over in this analysis, is that we're not looking at 2021 dollars, we're looking at 1/1/2023 dollars. And that I mean, we all recognize and we all acknowledge that 2023 dollars do not have the buying power of 2021 dollars.
Mark, for
Price.
your for your anal for your calculation, I see you have a on page R17, you've basically reused their values and applied your 5.32% cap rate to arrive at that $58 million value. Is that what you're basing your valuation on, or is it also sales?
I am basing my value on the sales, but I gave the income approach there on R17 just to demonstrate that the cap rate that they're showing is way undervaluing the property. And the cap rate that they are proposing is non-predictive of market value.
Okay. But as far as what number you're hanging your assessment on, is it sales or is it income approach?
Sales. The
Okay.
improved sales. Obviously, we have a lot of sales on top of the improved sales that happened before the assessment date, which we use according to statute. I also have the double sales study that shows that and it's true, I could have included sales from 2024, Actually, the one that Mr. Hennings just sent me over in Pasco, which, you know, I can speak to. He spoke to it, and it's included a little bit in his package. I think I might have left, but it sold. I don't have that, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
But he did mention a property in Pasco that sold, but it sold in 2019 for significantly less than it did in 2024, additionally showing what our studies on this side of the river have shown in Richland and Kennewick, that the sale prices are not going down. That the cap rates, their rate of decrease has slowed and flattened off and maybe even come up a little bit, but not to the amount that is shown, demonstrated by his analysis.
Okay. Ms. Flannery, do you have any comments?
I was just going to ask if the evidence page could be moved to the local cap rates.
Which evidence page? Your evidence page?
No, sorry. The county's.
Can be moved to what?
To the page that Mark has, the local cap rates.
The 5.32?
I believe so. It sounded like there was a handful of them that he was able to derive.
Yeah, I mean, he's got from 3.17 to 4.72%.
Yeah. Sorry. I just meant on the shared screen, if it's possible that I'm back. I'm better at seeing than hearing. No, that's okay. I understand the concern with band of investment, and I did read through the article that Mark provided. I do have a comment to that. If you read through that article, it says that the alternative income approach technique instead of band of investment is to use the mortgage and equity technique, which is the discounted cash flow analysis. And my understanding is Washington doesn't really favor using the discounted cash flow analysis. So I'm just curious what alternative there is to band of investment in a state that doesn't really want us to be using the discounted cash flow.
Well, and in addition, the state doesn't really want you using the income approach either. I mean, that's the third in the list of in priority of.
Yes, I agree, even which is I just find interesting since the real world uses the income approach, but I understand it makes things easier for our purposes, for ad valorem purposes. Okay. But okay.
If I may interject, in the real world, they also, you know, would have income and expense comparables, you know, things indicating the market included, and you know, really we just have a summary that's been submitted by Mr. Hennessy.
And I
a lot of details in what he's presented, and I, you know, I have a string of emails where I ask for more detail, and no more detail was ever given. He did give me that sale that happened in you know, some income details for that sale that happened in July 24th, 2024. But he indicated in the last hearing, he testified specifically that the cap rate on that one was 6% in you know, mid 2024. Mm-hmm. And here yet he's proposing a cap rate significantly higher than that.
I respectfully disagree. The cap rate he is at is 5.3, and the most recent transaction was at the 6 you mentioned. So,
well, the 6% that he mentions is a loaded cap rate.
Oh, okay. The email he sent me said it was a cap rate between 6 and 6.5. He did not. Sorry, I was just seeing what he wrote. I don't see where he said that that was loaded. But I wasn't part of those communications. As mentioned, I'm just trying to do the best I can with
Right, yeah.
what I've received. I do. Sorry, thank you for providing these particular cap or these cap rates. Is there transaction dates for each of these? I just want to understand, because are these in order of most recent, with the 575 Columbia Apartments being most recent down to Shoreline Village, or vice versa? Is there any sort of order to them?
I think no, I don't think there's an order.
Okay, I'm just
They
a part of the reason I'm asking. Like, I know that.
I mean the sales are indicated. I think all those sales are indicated and the dates of those sales are indicated on the list of sales. I will admit the,
Okay, I just want to make sure I understand, just because looking at it, if these were in order, it does actually look like cap rates are going up, but I don't want to, but I'm
Well,
in, like, if these aren't in
there's
order
different
for the
ages,
leases.
in the properties and certainly different, characteristics. I will be honest, the,
Okay, well, and the other piece I'm just trying to understand is okay, so the sales approach takes precedent not only by Washington state law, but that's what you're relying on, Mark.
Well, oh, sorry.
But the value that you have this property at is $55 million, and the property transacted for 50. So if sales is the primary technique, is there a sales grid that shows the market adjustment to justify that $5 million increase since the 20, December 2021 transaction? Or no, I'm sorry, that's Badger. I meant
Mark,
Regency
could you
Place.
show her
Sorry,
page?
Regency. Yeah, Regency sold in August of 2021 for $44 million.
Mark,
It's
show her page R17, or excuse me, R13 on the screen.
Yeah, R13, there is a list of sales.
Yeah, can you show that on her screen?
Oh, sure. Sorry, I. Sorry, a
Okay,
little
thank
slow
you.
on the
I just
uptake.
sorry. I'm
I'm
just trying to
just
understand.
recovering from having the flu pretty bad.
Yeah. So
I'm just.
if you look around the middle of that screen, you'll see Regency Park Apartments.
Yep, I see it. Okay, yep.
And 226, 550 or 569. And then look at the sales above and below that number. So it.
Yeah, but those aren't in order either. I'm sorry. I mean, I always do my sales approach from most recent to least. So I'm just trying to kind of understand, like, the Willow Apartments that sold in May of 2023 at 226.
Yeah,
I
those aren't garden type apartments though.
okay. Like I said, I'm just trying to understand if the sales approach is the primary indicator, because I know with the next hearing, essentially the county's value is the sale price from December 2021. So I'm trying to understand for this one, for the Regency, why this particular property's value is $9 million above the sale price. When, I guess I'm not understanding the difference,
Well,
why that's here.
it's two things, right? So if you look at the improved sales, you can see that, especially look at the top five, those bottom three are not comparable, okay?
Okay.
You can tell that just by the land size, right? The acreage, 2.1, 1.2. Yeah. So, I mean, a totally different type of apartments.
Yep. I hear you.
Okay. And then, so if you compare that 226 falls within that range of 210 to 253 a square, 253,000 a square foot, if I understand that correctly. I can't tell if that is a comma or a. My eyes aren't that good. Mark, is that a comma or a period?
On sorry.
Well, like 226 for the subject, 226,569. Is that a comma? Is it $226,000 per square foot? That doesn't sound
Oh,
right.
that's per unit. Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's per unit. Okay.
No, that's the okay. No, I'm
It
sorry. For
says square
Regency
foot at the
Park, I was
top.
looking 220.
The right, far right column.
Oh, that's the number of square feet between the two subjects. 226,569 combined square feet, and that's
Oh.
$196 a square foot or $194,425
Oh,
a
okay, I
unit.
see. I'm in the wrong. Okay, good. That's even better then. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so if you look at the price per unit, right, 194 thousand, so it's well below the 260, the 226, the 285, or the 234. So, and then combine that with what he did using your numbers on the income approach, but using his cap rate. So it's a combination of those two things.
Okay, well, and I just okay, I guess I'm a little confused. It just seems like there's two different things. I was looking at Badger Mountain prior to the hearing started first, because I did have a copy of that evidence packet, which didn't include an income approach or and it just says sales, but I didn't see a reconciliation. So I'm just and with that one again, my understanding, the county's value essentially is the same as the 2021 transaction price. And so I'm just having a hard time understanding why this property's value would go up $9 million from the
Well,
2021
actually, it appears
price.
undervalued based on the sales, right? So, in fact, out of those top five sales, excuse me, the four comparable sales, and then using your price per unit. Well, wait a minute, Mark, is that price per unit, is that based on the sale price or based on your assessed value price?
That price per unit is, let me double check. I don't want to quote it to you wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's the sale price.
Okay, so what is it on your assessed price?
The assessed value is $226,569 a square foot. What's on here is the sales and the sale prices.
Okay, wait a minute. 226,000, what?
569. It's on page it's on the
Well, yeah, that's
just
fine.
in the description of the subject property on the second
Okay.
page.
So that's 226,569 per unit. You said square foot earlier, but it's per unit. And so that then compares against the 216, the 226. Yeah, so it's at the low end, you know, you're at the low end of that range.
Yeah. I mean, because it, that transaction, that July 29 transaction, the cap rate for the Regency, that was actually 4.56 at that time. I think that's where the disconnect is happening, is that okay. Yeah. Okay.
I
Yes.
asked
Once again, I'm trying to understand.
you mentioned the cap rate at the time of sale. I asked Mr. Hennings for all that information and it was never given to me. I asked him
Okay.
for the appraisal, I asked him for all that stuff.
Well, and I know we as far at least within the files that I've been able to find, I don't have a copy of an appraisal, so I
Okay.
don't yeah, so
Well,
I can't speak to that. I'm just kind of looking at what I've been able to search leading up to this, and I just know one of the things things mentioned to me was the that he didn't, you know, the Badger did the value for the Badger Ranch essentially is the same as the 2021 purchase price. But the this one is, you know, substantially higher, and I didn't.
That may, not to interrupt, but that may be a dynamic of where we put things on the range. It's the higher end properties, the ones that are on the higher end of the range, we don't like when we do our computer modeling, we hate to extrapolate beyond what we have, for lack of a better word, we don't want to extrapolate beyond that on the higher end of the range because we don't have any bracketing sales. That one, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's an, I don't know if you're familiar with the property, but it's, I think, the only gated community apartments in the Tri-Cities that I know of for certain. It's probably the
So it
largest.
makes sense. So its sales price at 285 compared to the 195.
You look at the
194
site, it's
makes
very
sense.
large. It's got like three of its own private playgrounds. The number of square feet per unit is off the charts. I would dare say reaching into the point where they could probably put another five, maybe five buildings there. There might have to be some realignment of garages or something, but it's bordering on the point of almost having excess land because the
Well,
site is so big.
guys, we're moving into the other
Sorry.
property at this
But
point.
she was just wondering about why,
Yeah,
and we could talk about that more. I apologize.
I think the board has what it needs for the Regency Park apartments. Do you have any closing comments, Ms. Flannery? Otherwise, I'd like to move on to the Badger Mountain property.
No, just thank you all for your patience. I look forward to having a hearing in front of you with evidence I've created.
Yeah, that's always good, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you go ahead and give us your presentation on Badger Mountain?
Let me close out of the other one just so I don't find myself going back and forth.
By the way, Mark, Henning is the guy's first name. Christensen is his last name.
Oh,
You've been calling him Mr. Henning. It's really
Mr.
Mr.
Penning.
Christensen. Yeah, it's Mr. Christensen. Henning
Mr.
is his first.
Christensen. I'll
Yeah.
remember that. Thank you.
Okay.
That's what happens
Okay.
when, yeah.
All right, Ms. Flannery,
Yes.
go.
Okay, so as we mentioned a bit already, Badger Mountain is a Class A garden style multifamily apartment complex in West Richland submarket. It's 176 units, originally built in 2013, and as of the valuation date was 92.61% occupied. And essentially, the key points for this one are the same key points that were utilized for Regency Park. The increase that has been happening with interest rates and then putting upward pressure on cap rates. I won't delve into all of that again since you've all heard it, but essentially utilizing a cap rate of 5.3%. Loaded with the tax rate of 0.98 is where the included value is coming from for our income approach that was utilized, very similar income approach just in terms of if you look on page, apologies, he did not give page numbers.
No, I didn't. I found it here. It's about in the middle of
Okay,
the package.
thank you. But you'll see here he used very similar. Oh, although he did on this one, sorry, I'm just kind of seeing what he. So on this one, he did use a market vacancy rate of 10%. It looks like His gross potential income was, oh, I see what he's doing. Okay, so so to determine potential gross income, essentially what he did was he took the leased income, added back in the vacant income based on its occupancy of 92.61%. That's the gross potential income of 3.562 million. And then he used the market vacancy of 10% to deduct. It's 12%, 10% for vacancy, 2% for collection loss. He added in 8% for secondary income, resulting in that effective gross income of 3.4 million. A 20, well, overall expense ratio of 29% for a net operating income ratio of 71.25%. And again, using that same cap rate that he used with the Regency.
Well, I have some problem. The same problem I had with the other one, right? You're using market data and not data specific to this group of apartments. Also, you're not, and I didn't mention this on the other one, but similarly here, you're not giving us audited financials, right? You're just giving us blue sky calculations based on what he considers
Well,
to be market data, and we don't have anything that ties to those numbers, right?
I do. He did provide the income on the back half of the evidence, past the rent roll. There is the full year 2022 income for the subject itself.
But those aren't the numbers you're using, right? You're using calculations based on market data.
Yes, and I recognize that that he did not include market comparables. I would more for my understanding, at least with the hearings that I've held in other counties, but I'll happily note it for future hearings in Benton County, but one of the things that I've always gotten pushback on is using a property's actuals in an appeal scenario. And I've been told that I'm only supposed to be using market. So is Benton
Well,
County look at that differently? I mean, I guess that's more, again, I re recognize we don't have revenue and expense comparables and that our evidence
right, but then
should.
still ignores the fact that the income approach is the third in the order of priority, right? We tend to put most of our weight towards the sales approach, as does the county. And so we can nitpick over this, that, and the other on the income approach, but the income approach still is the third in priority in Washington State. So.
Okay. Like I said, I'm just trying to understand, for future hearings that I'm involved in specifically.
Well, if you're gonna, yeah, I mean, it's fine you can show the income approach, but you should also then show the sales approach to make sure, you should, the two things should support each other, right?
Absolutely. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Well, let's hear from
essentially
Mark.
it's the same evidence that was
Right.
already included. Yep.
So, Mark, do you want to walk us through your package?
Sure.
It's pretty much the same thing, I would think.
It's pretty much the same thing. The property is different. This property has almost, well, I don't know if it's sharing screens, but if you look through the packet, I pushed this to share, but let me see if I can get it to work. You'll see here that it, has all the features that the previous one did, but it's on a much larger, much nicer site, the much more features. Like I said, this is the only one that's a gated community, in apartment buildings. That's does add some extra expense because for the fire department, they obviously have a special key box so the fire department could get a fire truck in there if they needed to.
Right.
Very nice clubhouse, larger than the previous one. And like I said, one of the questions that that Ms. Flannery has is that, you know, hey, you know, why is it they positioned differently with regard to the sale prices? I think the simple explanation, you know, just to kind of reiterate is, you know, when you're on the upper end of the market, you know, I do want to take into consideration that I think most investors would look at all that as a luxury and not a need and, you know, expense. But, you know, we do have the sale. We are required to consider the sale, you know, without any better evidence, solely and wholly. And then look at, you know, when we look at the sales that are available, this sale is justified. It is on the upper end of the range because of its features. You can look through the packet and see the finish levels of the apartments are very high.
They look very nice.
Sidewalks throughout, a beautiful, I'll be honest, I don't think anybody, I've been to all the big apartment complexes many times in the Tri-Cities. I don't think anybody else has a clubhouse like that. The units are very nice. There's the, you know, the gate. You look at the units. I mean, those are very nice recessed sinks, just very nice finish level for an apartment. Upgraded lights and upgraded appliances. And, you know, it's still, you know, apartments, but everybody's got a balcony, pretty nice view. You've got all these features, private parks and places for barbecues and roast marshmallows. It is a very feature rich kind of thing. This is actually a off leash dog park. It's a nice feature.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But beyond that, the argument is still the same. I think there's some special things in this microcosm that are not being considered. Looking at the sales, looking at the income, I don't agree with the band of investment method. I as an appraiser for 21 years, I know Ms. Flannery's been an appraiser for a very significant amount of time. I certainly would never want to go to court with a band of investment. You know, especially when there's millions and millions of dollars of assessed value. It's just not something that is regarded very highly amongst real estate professionals. You know, I've seen band of investment done on some large industrial properties where those rates are really well known and tracked very, very closely. And when that is done, those reports where all those rates come from are disclosed. I do a lot of big commercial, industrial appraisals, and that's very common. But, you know, in my packet here, I have sales. I think I've covered the value, and I don't want to beat a dead horse anymore, but if there's any more questions.
Yeah, could you help me with one thing on your page, R24, where your improved sales?
Sure.
For Badger Mountain Apartments, I see you have an adjusted sale price. Is that a time adjusted sale?
That's a
price?
Time adjustment. And that time adjustment is based on the time adjustments are just based on the double sales study. We do use a time adjustment that's lower than what the sales study indicates.
Are you using a 6% rate?
Yeah.
For your...
I think it should say right here. Generally, that's what we've been using is 6%, which is significantly lower than what's indicated by the double sales study, which
right.
is,
yeah, I understand.
You know, much higher.
Okay, I was trying to get from the purchase price, which apparently was what 43.8 and change, to the 50,000 number that you have there, and the difference is the passage of time at 6%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so your valuation is basically, you're saying you're valuing it at the initial original purchase price, whereas your current valuation says it could actually be higher than that. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. We, okay. We know that with the, inflation rates, that 6% is probably not even keeping up with inflation.
Understand. Yeah, well, yeah. Maybe it is now, but yeah. The last couple of years, that was questionable. Okay. I think we've got what we need here. So, any closing comments, Ms. Flannery?
No.
Okay. Peter, any questions?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you all for attending. We'll adjourn and now deliberate. So you guys have a